Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, there once was a father who had two sons. His younger son said to the father, "Give me my inheritance." The young son couldn't wait for his father to pass away to receive all that money. So the father gave him all that money. He went off to a distant country, and he squandered it. He wasted all of it. He threw fancy parties that made many people love him. But as soon as the money was gone, no one cared about him. He didn't know what to do. But then he got the idea of going back to his father, hoping that his father would take some sort of pity on him. As he returned to his father saw him. He ran out to him, threw his arms around him, dressed him in royal robes, and he threw a great feast, celebrating that his son, who was once lost, was now found. You know this story. I didn't come up with it. Jesus did. And this parable has been called the parable of the lost son, or maybe you know it as the parable of the prodigal son. It is one of the most well-known and cherished parables that Jesus ever taught. But why do I even bring it up? We're not even studying that parable this morning. Well, the reason that I bring it up is because the parable of the lost son comes right before this parable of the shrewd manager. Both parables talk about someone who had wasted money. But the meaning behind both of these parables are different. We understand the meaning of the lost son very well, for it emphasizes how God loves the lost. But here we may not be so familiar with this parable. We may even find it very confusing. Maybe you were almost scratching your heads, wondering what exactly is Jesus teaching us in this parable. And because of that, let's take a very close look at what Jesus said. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.'" This rich man, this rich master, had entrusted all of his money to this manager, hoping that this manager would make good use of his money. But that's not what the manager did. He wasted it. And so when the master heard about this, he called him in and said, "You must give an account of what you have done." Nowadays, we would say that the master was auditing his manager. And he's going to lose his job. So what is the manager going to do? The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes." Notice that this man doesn't even offer up any excuses or explanations to his master for what he has done. The reason he doesn't give any explanation is because there is no way he can defend himself and keep his job. He's going to be fired. Now we may think, okay, so you lost your job. Pick yourself up and get a new one. But the manager said that he's too weak to dig. He's too weak to do manual labor. He's too ashamed to beg for money and to beg for a job. But then the manager gets an idea that he's going to do something that will make friends with people, that they may welcome him into their homes. So this is what he does. He brings in all the people who had debts to his master. After they tell him how much they owe, he tells them to sit down and they're going to change how much they owe. He's going to decrease the amount. Nowadays, we call this cooking the books. And notice that once again, this manager is wasting his master's money. He's not doing this with his own money. He's doing this at the expense of his master's money for his own benefit. You would think the master would be furious at this and would find a way to punish his manager. But the parable said, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. The master praises the manager for what he has done. But why would he praise his manager, considering that what he had done was illegal, wrong, and unjust? Well, the reason the master praised the manager is because what he had done was very wise. By decreasing these amounts, this manager had people look more favorably upon him, and perhaps they would welcome him into their homes and maybe even give them a job. So even though this manager had done something wrong and sinful, he still did something very wise with the money that was entrusted to him to gain friends for himself for his benefit. And that is the point of this parable. Jesus is teaching us to use money that has been entrusted to us wisely. Now, it may seem odd that Jesus used an example of an ungodly manager for us to learn from. But notice what Jesus said. The people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. The people of this world, unbelievers, are going to be more shrewd with their money when dealing with people because money means everything to them. Money is the most important thing to them. Therefore, they are going to be very wise with their money and how they use it. Now, money for us Christians is not the most important thing. For us as Christians, God is what is most important to us. But God did give us money, and he wants to use the money that has been entrusted to us wisely. And it's for that reason that Jesus said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, this passage may seem very confusing because it seems like Jesus is encouraging us to use our money in a dishonest and an unjust way, just like what the shrewd manager had done. But that can't be Jesus' point. Jesus would never encourage and tell us to do something that is sinful. Instead, Jesus' point is that he wants us to be wise, just like how the manager was wise. The manager was wise by using what was entrusted to him to gain friends for himself. And so God wants us to use our money wisely to gain friends for ourselves. Not in the selfish way like the shrewd manager had done, but in a selfless way. To gain friends not for our benefit, but for their benefit. For if we use our money wisely with them, that can be a door that is open to us to evangelize to them and to share the message of the gospel. So how can we use money that has been entrusted to us wisely? Well, thankfully, Scripture tells us how and gives us many different ways that we can do that. We can use our money wisely by obeying God's command, where he tells us to take a sum of our money in keeping with our income to give as offerings. And you don't have to just give offerings here to our church. You can also provide offerings for our synod to support the programs that they may have. You may give your offerings to our Lutheran schools, such as Luther High, to support them as they teach children and teens about their Savior. You can give offerings to help support those who are training to become called workers so that they may go out and share Jesus with others. You can use your money wisely by helping and supporting the poor and the needy, whether that's by giving a monetary donation or using your money to buy food and clothing for their needs. You can use your money wisely by managing it well so that you can provide and take care of your family and your relatives. All of these things are God-pleasing, for we are using what is entrusted to us wisely. Which is why Jesus went on to say, when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Jesus is not saying that if we use money wisely, then we have somehow earned or merited eternal life in heaven. It is only faith that saves us. But where there is faith in Christ, there are fruits of faith for Christ. So when Jesus comes on the last day to judge the living and the dead, for us Christians, He will bring up every good work that we have done, not because they have earned His grace and His love, but because they are evidence of our faith in Him. And so by using money that has been entrusted to us wisely, we show our love for God. But what if we don't use money that has been entrusted to us wisely? Jesus said, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Jesus says that if we can't even use worldly wealth wisely, then how can we be entrusted with true riches? What are these true riches? Well, the true riches are spiritual riches. They are heavenly riches, such as grace, faith, forgiveness, and the gospel in word and sacrament. But if we can't use worldly wealth wisely, and therefore we are unfit to use these true riches, then we are not fit for eternal dwellings. We are not fit for heaven. And that's why Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Do you use your money wisely or not? Do you serve God or money? Money can be our master. We may not use money wisely simply because we forget where our money comes from. We may think that money belongs to us because we are the ones that have worked for it. We are the ones who have earned it. Money does not belong to you and me. Money belongs to God. God created everything, and therefore He created money, which He has graciously given and has entrusted to us. But by thinking that money belongs to us, that we have earned it, then we put the emphasis on money and ourselves instead of putting the focus on God and praising and thanking Him for what He has given to us. Or all those things that I said earlier about how you can use your money wisely, you may look at all those things and think, I can't do that because I'm the one who really needs this money right now. By doing that, you are putting your trust in money instead of putting your trust in God, who has promised to give you everything that you need. Therefore, we are being more devoted to money and despising God at the same time. Or even if right now you are still thinking that money is not your master and that you serve God above all things, I will ask you, have you ever been more concerned about money than concerned about your relationship with God? Have you ever put just a little bit more trust in money than you did in God? Have you ever thought that the idea of using your money to help others was foolish because you thought, they don't deserve my money. Why should I help them? If you have ever acted in this way, even just once, you have sinned against God. And God says, if you've sinned against me just once, you are guilty of breaking my whole law. We have not used our money wisely all the time. And because of that, we should not be entrusted with these true riches, such as God's grace, faith, forgiveness, and His gospel. God should take away our money to leave us poor and destitute, and He should also take away these true riches so that we are spiritually poor and destitute. But God doesn't do that. He has not done that. Only because of Christ, who is our greatest treasure. Christ served God and not money. God was Christ's master and not money. You can look throughout His whole life and you see how true this is. Christ was not concerned or worried about money, for He trusted that His God would take care of all of His needs. And everything that God gave to Christ, even if it weren't that much, He praised and thanked God for what He had given Him. Christ took care of the poor, the lonely, and the sick. And Christ was concerned about using these true riches that were entrusted to Him wisely. He used the gospel to make friends with others. He reached out to them. He brought them to faith. He gave them His grace. He moved them to repentance so that they would receive His forgiveness. And Christ still uses the gospel for us to reach out to us, to bring us to faith, to give us His grace, to move us to repent and receive His forgiveness. For it is God's word that has told us about Christ our Savior, who died to remove our sins from us. And He has removed them so far that God says, I remember them no more. It is the gospel that moves and guides us to serve God above all things. It is the gospel that has taught us that God has graciously given us money and He wants us to use it wisely. That's exactly what Jesus teaches us in this parable. So as I said earlier, perhaps this parable is not the most familiar. By studying this parable, we see what Jesus wants us to know. Use money that has been entrusted to you wisely. Praise and thank God for what He has given to you. And use your money wisely by giving offerings to the Lord, to provide and to help the needy, and to provide and to help your own family and relatives. By doing this, you are producing fruits of faith for God. And as Jesus said, when it is all gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings because of faith in Him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.